Is this on? We're on. All right. So it is incredible to be able to be back. If you are new here and I've never met you, I just, again, want to welcome you to Transformation Church. And our desire is that you would encounter Jesus. And my desire this morning, just even in preaching and sharing the scriptures with you, is just that you would hear Jesus and be drawn into a deep relationship with him. And then for those of you that I do know, it is really cool to see everybody, and it's really cool to be back this soon. And Caleb was joking when he said about everybody being mad at me, but that is a running joke, even with the district superintendent of the churches in Ontario. He often tells me that he's pretty upset at me. He said, I'll still answer your calls, but maybe not as quick as I used to. And I'll just say, even for our family, it was interesting. You all know all my kids probably by name. But when my first day as lead pastor in Halifax at Deepwater Church, we were getting ready to go, and our house is always crazy in the morning with all of our kids trying to get everybody up and ready. And we had to get ready to go, and there were two services that morning, and so it was kind of a busy kerfuffle. And Lucy came out of her room with her Transformation Church t-shirt on. And I was laughing. I was like, this is a statement. And she was like, yes. And so I was like, well, that's fine. We've always embraced with our kids. We're like, we're not, you know, you gotta do what you're convicted about. So her first day at Deepwater, she was proudly wearing her Transformation Church t-shirt. And it was funny for the people that, yeah, I'll tell her you all clapped. So
I think what she was trying to tell you was there's an opening.
So that was her statement. It was pretty fun. And people have asked me a lot, even in Halifax, and then being back here and connecting with people, like, what's it like? What's the transition like? How do you feel? And the honest answer to that is that it's a challenging transition. It hasn't been easy for us as a family. It's a big shift. It's a big move. And the only reason that we have the peace that we have about it is because of how clearly God spoke. And I've shared that here publicly. If you haven't heard that story, you can go back in the old messages and you can listen to it. But God spoke in an undeniable way. And that's what gives us this sense of peace that this is from God. And honestly, if it wasn't for that, I think it would be even a harder struggle. And I just want you to know, as the people of Thunder Bay and people of Transformation Church, we love you deeply. And we are so grateful that God called us here for the 7 years that he called us here for. And leaving was something that we knew we were following God's call, but it was still emotionally very challenging and difficult. And there's still days today where I think back to our time here, and it's just hard. It's just it's a tough transition. We miss the people. We miss the area. But we also, we know in our hearts that God so clearly called us. And so I have something I really want to share, and I just got to give you a little bit of the backstory of this message. So a couple weeks ago, I was officially installed as the lead pastor of Deepwater Church in Halifax. And so the district superintendent, his name is Peter Moore, he traveled to Halifax and he spent the weekend with our family and took us out to eat and hung out. And on Sunday morning, he did an installation of me as the lead pastor. And he preached a message based on Joshua chapter 1. And it resonated with me on a deep level. And when I knew that I was coming here and had the opportunity to speak and share with you all, it was like this message from Joshua 1 dropped into my heart, and I knew that it was something that I had to share here in Thunder Bay. So I'm taking kind of the heart of it from Peter, and it was the message he spoke for me as starting out as the lead pastor there. But it was just like it's going to change a little bit because I want to really apply it to this context in this area. But it was like a few weeks ago, it was like it just dropped in my heart, and I knew that it was something that I had to share here. There was a movie in the late 90s called The Adventures of Tom and Huck. Anybody remember that? Tom and Huck? Jonathan Taylor Thomas was in it. It was like a movie of my childhood. And it's about these two boys. And I had seen this movie, and it like had left a big impression on me when I was younger. And there's a scene in the movie where one of the boys, everybody thought he was dead. There was an accident, and everybody thought he was dead. And he kind of went along with it. He liked that everybody thought he was dead. And so him and his best friend, they sneak into the attic of the church. And there's like a scene in the movie where they're looking down through the boards and they're watching his funeral service. And people are saying all these nice things. And this girl who had a crush on him, she's crying. And he's up and he's watching and he's just loving it because people are saying all these nice things at his funeral. And he was just loving that he got to be there for his own funeral. And his buddy in the movie, he gets to the point where he realizes, like, you can't keep faking this so long. So he pushes him and he busts down through the boards. And like, so he comes down through the ceiling to his own funeral, right? So everybody's just absolutely shocked. And then the girl who was saying all these nice things about him, like, got mad. She's like, you jerk! And she, like, punches him or whatever, and she's, like, all upset. And anyway, that scene was in my mind because the message I want to share with you, in some ways, I'm preaching my own funeral. Like, a season has changed. And I'm going to share from Joshua chapter 1 where there's a major season change. And God is saying to the people, Moses is dead. And the reason he's saying that is because a new leader is being installed and he's challenging the people and saying, like, this new season is something that you've got to embrace. And so this message was preached a couple weeks ago for me, and I have this opportunity to preach it today. And so in some ways, it almost feels like my own funeral because it's a major season change. The season that we shared together over these last 7 years, that season has come to an end. But I believe that this next season is incredibly hopeful. I believe God is always up to stuff. You've all heard me say lots of times that God is up to stuff, and I believe he's still up to stuff in incredibly significant ways, and it would be easy to miss it if we're kind of consumed by a previous season, and it's important to see what God's up to now. So we're going to read Joshua chapter 1, and I don't know if it's on the screen or not. Joshua chapter 1 in the New Living Translation, if it's possible, and New Living, Joshua chapter 1, starting in verse 1, and I'll just read to the end, which is verse 18. Let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you for today, and just thank you for the opportunity to be here in Thunder Bay again at Transformation Church. And God, I got to see you at work here for many years, and I got to see you at work before Transformation Church was even in existence, even before it was established, and we saw you do lots of incredible things, and I believe there's lots of good things to come, Lord. It's like the scripture that Justin read at the beginning of the service. You finish a work all the way through to the end when you start it, and I believe that has to do with us personally, but it also has to do with churches and communities when we get together and gather around you. And Lord, I believe there's lots to come. There's lots ahead for TC. And so I just pray that you bless us. I pray that as we read your word, that we would actually have ears to hear what you're saying. Please open our ears and our hearts and our minds to what you're saying. And I pray, Lord, that for every one of us in this room, that you would bring us into a place in our lives more and more where we would say, Lord, your will be done, not mine. And help us to not just say those words, but to mean them with all of our hearts. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. So Joshua chapter 1, let's jump in. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. So hold on to that. It's interesting even how this is worded. After the death of Moses, Joshua knew Moses was dead. That was common knowledge. But God made a point, even though it was common knowledge, to say, Moses is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land that I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you. From the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people across to possess all the land that I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. This is really important instructions from God because he repeats it. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Just over and over again, God is saying this. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua then commanded the officers of Israel, go through the camp and tell the people to get their provisions ready. In 3 days, you will cross the Jordan River and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you. Then Joshua called together the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. And he told them, remember what Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. The Lord your God is giving you a place of rest. He has given you this land. Your wives, children, and livestock may remain here in the land Moses assigned to you on the east side of the Jordan River. But your strong warriors, fully armed, must lead the other tribes across the Jordan to help them conquer their territory. Stay with them until the Lord gives them rest. And as he has given you rest, and until they too possess the land the Lord your God is giving them, only then may you return and settle here on the east side of the Jordan River in the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, assigned to you. They answered Joshua, we will do whatever you command us, and we will go wherever you send us. We will obey you as we obeyed Moses. And may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your orders and does not obey your words and everything you command will be put to death. So be strong and courageous. And so this passage of Scripture is historically, it's a time for the people of Israelites when there was a season of major transition. And so a few weeks ago, when Pastor Peter preached this message at Deepwater Church in Halifax, he was really emphasizing, he was saying Moses is dead. And so, but what was funny, he kind of made light of it a little bit. So the previous pastor of Deepwater Church, his name is AJ, and he'd been there for 16 years. He planted the church. He's a really influential person. He's an incredible man of God. He's still alive. And so Peter made a joke. He said, I just want to set you all at ease. I just saw AJ last week. AJ's alive. He's not dead. So he was saying, he was drawing our attention to this reality of a changing of seasons, but he was saying, I mean, it's a little bit different in our current situation. He said, AJ's alive. He said, but that season, this past previous season is over. So similarly, it's like that season has come to an end. It's dead and it's gone. And it's similar here in Thunder Bay. I'm alive. Like, you can see that, right? Like, you could come and give me a hug. I've gave lots of you a hug. Like, I'm still alive. I'm still well. But this season, this previous 7 years, has come to an end. But there's hope for the next season. I don't always preach this way with 3 points. I'm not necessarily that strict on being structured with a 3-point sermon. But today I do have 3 major points that I want to make. And it's that Moses is dead. The second is be strong and courageous. And then I want to end with this. The promised land doesn't come to the Israelites. They go to it. It's not something that comes to us. We travel to it. But for the first, Moses is dead. I think all of us wrestle, and I just want you to be honest with your own self this morning as we talk about this. But I think all of us wrestle with wishing that things were different than what they are. All of us. And so I'm reading this, and I'm very familiar with the story of Moses. I've read it my whole life. I've watched, there's a really great Netflix documentary on the life of Moses, by the way. It's a 3-part series. They're all an hour and a half long. It's really well done, and it chronicles the life of Moses. I love Moses. I love the story of Moses. But you know what's interesting? Is that during the time that Moses was leading the people of Israel for like 40 years through the wilderness, multiple times, over and over and over again, the people grumbled against Moses. They grumbled against his leadership. They grumbled against the decisions that he was making. They were pushing back against Moses. They were grumbling and complaining, and they were wishing they were back in Egypt. Do you remember that? If you study the story of Moses, often as the people of Israel, they've been liberated and they're on their way to this promised land, and over and over, whenever things got hard, they're like, oh, I wish we could go back to Egypt where we were slaves, but at least we had food and, you know, we had a roof over our heads and we kind of knew where our next meal was coming from. And then during the time of Moses, they're wishing that. And then when Moses had died, you know what God, the reason he's saying Moses is dead is because Joshua is being established as the new leader. And you know what was about to happen? The same thing. Because the people were going to look back and go, oh, when Moses was the leader, things were better. Because we have this tendency, don't we? Where we want to look back on a previous season and we forget the challenges, we forget the hard times, and we really struggle with what God, like with the situation God has us in now. And I just want to challenge you as a church and as a community of Jesus followers to take seriously God's instruction in Scripture and to recognize where he has you and who he has you with, who he has you following, who he has you participating with. One of the things I've noticed as a pastor is that people often will come and they'll join our church, and it happened when I was here at Transformation Church for 7 years. People are often talking about their previous church and how much better the things were there. Or they're talking about some big church down in the States like Rick Warren or Timothy Keller, and they're talking about all those incredible things. We have this tendency, God has us in a place with real people, real human beings, and we have this tendency to think things are better over there or to think things are better in the past. And that's what God's dealing with in this passage. In Joshua chapter 1, he says to Joshua, Moses is dead. That season, that previous time that you were in, that season is done and it's over, and you've got to recognize what God has you in right now. And it's similar. There will be a temptation for us here to think about a previous season and to think, oh, things were better there. Or maybe for some of us, we think of another church that we're really influenced by. Maybe there's this incredible pastor, author that you follow. Red. Is that... Is this on? Oh, we're good. We're back. So, and I just want to challenge us with that, with what that looks like, because I think that there will be... Oh, here we go. Oh, we're good. I could preach really long today. There's a couple different options for mics here, so if it dies, there's another one. I won't do that. But I just want to challenge us with that, because I think that's a temptation that we all face, and not even just in this season. There will be other seasons in your life where God has you with a group of people and in a certain place, and you're going to be tempted to think about either the past or someplace else. And it's so vital. God is saying to this people, that season is over. Moses is dead, and so embrace the new season that you're in. And I'll just say to you, I'm not saying this to you as a group with fingers this way, and because for me, this previous season is over. And that's a challenge. I just got to be honest with you. On days when things are challenging and difficult, I'm tempted to think to previous seasons in my life often and to be like, oh, it was better then. And that is not, like, God actually warns his people away from that type of thinking. And I just want to warn you away from that. Be cognizant of where God has you and say, God, how can I plug in and embrace where you have me? With the leadership you have me with the people I'm working with, even though it's challenging, even though it's difficult, embrace that. Embrace what God is doing. Secondly, so that's Moses dead. Secondly, be strong and courageous. You know, God repeats that over and over again to the people, to be strong and courageous. And I've had the privilege of knowing the leadership team here over the last 7 years really well. And there's lots of, like, Justin and Lauren and Randy, and there's lots of staff. But the three people that have stepped in, Jeremy, Caleb, and Gene, and they're the interim pastoral team while there's a search committee looking for a new pastor for TC. They're an incredible team. And they've actually embodied this message, be strong and courageous, really well. And I often joke with people, especially about Caleb and Jeremy, that when I'm talking to people in Nova Scotia about Transformation Church and about Thunder Bay, like, I'll tell them about Jeremy and Caleb because I was a part of recruiting these two guys, and then both of them married local ladies, and they stayed after I left. And I'm like, they're like, oh, that jerk, Nathan. Like, he recruited me here to Thunder Bay, and then he took off, right? But I just want to tell you, I've known Jeremy for a long time, And I remember specifically, and it was before we moved to the house that we lived in for the last 5 years. When Vicky and I first moved here with our kids, we lived on Pine Street in Port Arthur. And I remember being in the basement, and we were just starting Transformation Church. There wasn't a whole lot of growth, and there was a lot of challenges, and it was really difficult and challenging. And I remember praying for Jeremy by name, because Jeremy moved. He came out here, and he was only going to come for a month. He was coming to help us get started. It was before we actually launched. It was before the official launch date. He was just helping us do some outreaches and ministries, and so he was here for a month. And then he stayed a little bit longer, but he went back to the East Coast. And I just had this, I just, for whatever reason, and I haven't done this with very many people. That's the honest truth. With Jeremy, for some reason, I specifically prayed for him by name. I'm like, God, bring Jeremy to Thunder Bay. Please bring Jeremy to Thunder Bay. Like, he just has a heart to see people come to know Jesus. Like, I just have such respect for him. And that was one of the prayers. Not all of my prayers get answered. God doesn't say yes to me all the time, by the way. There's lots of times where I pray for things and beg God, and God's like, no. But sometimes he says yes. That one of the answers to that was Jeremy. And it was a really bold and courageous step for Jeremy to leave the life that he had on the East Coast, the job that he had. There was lots of security there, lots of family. And he took this bold and courageous step and came here and then met Alyssa, and they got married. And I often remind Jeremy and Alyssa, I'm like, I'm kind of responsible for that relationship. So on some days, maybe they're like, why'd you do that? But some days I think they're really grateful. But it's just cool how God works, and he's here. And it was this bold and courageous step. Caleb, I remember Caleb was finishing up his previous ministry assignment, and he was just wrestling through his call. And I remember Caleb calling me and saying, Nathan, I'm just interested in coming to Thunder Bay and learning about church planting. And that was a few years ago. And I remember telling Caleb very specifically, I don't have a job to offer you. I can't just hire you at Transformation Church. Like but if you want to look for a job and come here, like, I'll put you to work. You have to do it for free. And he took me up on it. He found a job here in the city and moved here. And then same thing, he met a local, and now he's married, and he's on the leadership team here. But it was this bold and courageous step where he just felt God calling him to say yes to something, and he said yes to it. It was this bold and courageous step. And then Gene and Terry, like, I often talk to people about Gene and Terry. I preached a sermon a few weeks ago at Kingswood University where I studied at Bible school. And Gene and Terry had a massive impact on my faith journey, my walk with Jesus. The way they live out their relationship with Jesus, it just has left an imprint on my life that will never, I won't be the same because of how God has used them in my life. There you go. I started connecting with Gene and Terry in the early days before we launched Transformation Church. And 3 weeks before we officially launched as a church, Gene and Terry approached me and said, we talked to our leadership team at Faith Chapel, and we feel like we're supposed to close Faith Chapel and join Transformation Church. Whenever I tell the story of TC, I always tell people about Faith Chapel and that decision to join TC, and I tell them, if not for that, I don't think we would have survived as a church. Like, it was a miracle. It was such a God thing. We didn't have that in our original plan, but it was bold and courageous. It was like, so Jeremy and Caleb and Gene, there's these steps of faith that were bold and courageous. And my challenge to you as a community of Jesus followers is to live into that. Like, we serve a God, I don't know if you believe this or not, but we serve a God who's actually alive and well and speaks to his people. And he shows up on behalf of those who believe him and follow him. And there's story after story of times when God has done that. And before I move on from be bold and courageous, in your personal lives, I encourage you to practice this. Yesterday, so the whole reason I came, like, I really wanted to see my son Malachi, who couldn't be here this morning because he just got a job and he's got orientation, and he was really sad about it. But I came here to visit Malachi, and so I've really been trying to spend all kinds of time with him, and we went golfing yesterday. And my focus was not evangelism, was not telling people about Jesus. It was just to hang out with Malachi. And so we're playing golf, and we got paired up with this guy who's in Thunder Bay for a few days because his mother-in-law was flown in here, and she's got some pretty serious medical conditions. And so we got paired up with this guy, and we're golfing. And he's just telling me his story, and I just kept thinking, like, am I supposed to point this guy to Jesus? And I just had this, like, sense I was supposed to ask him if I could pray. And he was very clearly not a Jesus follower. So it's awkward, by the way, on the golf course to be like, hey, can we pray? Like, stop, don't drive the ball right now. We're just going to pray, right? Like, it's kind of an awkward thing, even if you're a pastor. Okay, it's not an easy thing to break into, but I just kept getting this sense. And it was the most bizarre thing. Right when I was thinking about, I just had this sense that I was supposed to pray for him. I bent down and I saw this broken tee, and I picked it up. I've never seen this name brand of golf tees before, but it was like pulpitgolf.com. The word pulpit was in it. And I just felt like, this is a pulpit. This is an opportunity to talk to somebody about Jesus who's outside of the church. And so I just awkwardly asked this guy, hey, like, you've told me about your mother-in-law and your wife and her medical conditions. Can we just pray? And so we just bowed our heads on hole 16 on the golf course, and we just prayed. And we moved on from that. But that bold and courageous, like, that's something that God often challenges me with. That's a story where I feel like I did what God was prompting me to do. I could tell you lots of stories where I failed on that too, and I've felt God prompt me and I didn't do it. But I continually come back to that challenge in Scripture where God says to his people, be bold and courageous. So as a community, as a group, I believe what God is saying to Transformation Church, be bold and courageous with where God has you right now, with the leadership he has you under right now. As a community, as a group, be bold and courageous. But then in your personal lives, when God nudges you to have an awkward conversation and point to him in some way, be bold and courageous. God is alive. You know that? Like, his Holy Spirit lives inside of us, and he empowers us to live in such a way that honors him, even when it's challenging, even when we feel like we're going to put our foot in our mouths. His challenge to us is to be bold and courageous. And then lastly, hopefully my mic stays alive. I'll just close with this. This is a crazy revelation from Scripture. Do you know that the promised land did not come to the Israelites? They had to go to it. So as the people of God, you're on a journey. And if you study the Bible, this has been like rolling around in my mind and heart for the last few weeks. The pastor who preached this message in Halifax a couple weeks ago, he made this really brief comment that triggered me into thinking about this. But he was talking about how the promised land doesn't come to the people, they have to travel to it. And then I just got thinking about biblical history. Do you know that the people of Israel never fully settle and occupy and dwell in the promised land? Ever. So if you go back thousands of years to Abraham, when God first called Abraham, God prophesied to him, you're going to be a father of a multitude of nations, you're going to bless the whole earth. But he never saw the fulfillment of that. And then the people of Israel ended up in slavery in Egypt for 400 years. And then God rose up Moses miraculously. It was an incredible way that God rose this guy up. He was trained by the Egyptians, and he led the people of Israel away from Egypt where they were slaves. And he wandered in the desert for 40 years with this promise, we're going to the promised land. And so the people have this promise of hope that we're going to get to this place where there's peace and there's rest, and it's a land flowing with milk and honey, and things are going to be good, and it's a blessing, and it's awesome. But then Moses dies, Moses is dead, and Joshua takes over. Joshua leads what's called the conquest. So the people of Israel, they break into the promised land, and they start making headway. But you know, they never fully settle and occupy the promised land. So they get there, things go wrong, so Joshua dies, and then there's different kings that get raised up. David is this powerful man of God, and he leads the army, and they're incredibly successful in lots of ways. But they never fully occupy the promised land according to how God prophesied that it would be. And to this day, there is tensions in the Middle East, like incredible tension. There has always been tension in the Middle East. So the promises of Scripture about the promised land, like, we never see the actual full realization and fulfillment of it because the people of God are on this journey. And what I want to say to us is that I think there's this tendency in all of us that we just think, like, in this next phase, in this next season, I'm going to get to this place of peace. I'm going to get this place of rest, and everything's going to work out. Until Jesus returns, until his return is complete, and he restores everything, and he comes into full power and authority over all the earth, we're always going to be on a journey. We're always traveling with God. We don't get to this place of complete rest until we're with Jesus someday. You know, Mother Teresa, one of my favorite people, she was just known for being nonstop. Like, she just gave and gave and gave and gave. She served dying people her whole life. She served dying babies, babies that were thrown away that nobody else wanted. And, like, she was just significantly used of God. And somebody said to her, like, you need to rest more. And she said, I'll rest when I'm with Jesus. But her whole life was characterized by serving God, because she knew that she wasn't going to get to a place in this life, in this side of eternity, where things were just going to be all completely okay. She knew that the promise of Jesus is that when he returns, he makes everything right. He wipes every tear from every eye. He comforts every broken heart. He restores everything. But until that day, we're on this journey. And I just would say to you, like this, we're talking about how this season has ended and we're in a new season. Like this side of eternity, until we meet Jesus, you will be on a journey. And my question to you, just I'm going to land this and pray for us, but are you hearing what God is saying? Or are you dreaming about some past previous experience or some other place where things are better? Like, are you recognizing where God has you right now, the leadership he has you under right now? Like, do you recognize it? Do you see the opportunities God has in front of you? Do you see the way that you can plug in? It's not easy. It's challenging. It's difficult. People will frustrate you. Leaders are imperfect. Humans are imperfect. But do you recognize where God has you? Or are you like one of the Israelites that's just grumbling because things aren't the way they used to be? Or things aren't the way that I see it down in some other church that I love somewhere? Like, do you recognize where God has you? And are you living into the prayer Jesus taught us to pray, Lord, your will be done? There's a reason Jesus told us to pray that prayer every day. He said, as often as you get together, you pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy will be done, not mine. That's like a regular reminder where we have to say, Lord, I know what I want. I know the things I want. I know the things I'm frustrated by. But God, your will be done, not mine. That is an absolutely essential prayer. And it's not one we can do on our own. It takes the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to live it out. So I'm just going to pray and turn it over to the team. And I just want to encourage you, if God is like challenging you in any way, just to say yes to him. Like, we're in a new season, myself included. I'm in a new season, and this is something that I have to live into every day, where I'm saying, God, not my will, but yours be done. And we need to recognize what that is, but then also yield to it as the Holy Spirit enables us. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for how you challenge us with your word. And God, I believe that what you are challenging every one of us in this room with is significant. All of us have different situations. All of us have different things going on in our lives. And all of us struggle with putting our will above yours, which, Jesus, I believe that's why you taught us to pray to the Father, saying, Lord, your will be done. And I just pray for each one of us in this room that you would do a deep work in our hearts and help us collectively to become a people that say, Lord, your will be done, not mine. Help us to mean it. And Lord, I pray that you would empower us by your Holy Spirit to actually live that out. God, we love you. I thank you for the history of the things that you've done here. Lord, we celebrate it. It is incredible what we've experienced and what we've seen, but we're in this new season. And I pray, Jesus, that you would lead us and guide us into this new season, empowered by your Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord, that even the days that we step into would be brighter, would bear more fruit, would even be more effective. I pray for unity in this church body, in this gathering of believers, and that there'd be just an encounter with you in a deep and a profound way. And Lord, if there's anybody in this room that's not a follower of you, I pray, Lord, that they would hear your voice this morning. They would respond to your call, and they would say yes to you. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.